I'm excited today. We're beginning a brand new series we're calling Game Plan: Strategies for Winning Relationships. And just real quick, a show of hands, how many of you know that relationships can be complicated? Okay, look around. You are not alone. Okay, show of hands, how many of you have made some poor relationship decisions in the past? Okay, you're not alone. If the person sitting next to you is the reason you're raising your hand, just blink twice. Okay, I see you. I see you. Here's what we know. We know that whether you're single, whether you're dating or engaged to be married, or whether you're married, or whether you're just looking to strengthen the friendships in your life, we know that relationships can be hard. And making matters worse, making things harder, is the terrible advice that we get in our culture today. Well, what do people tell us? Well, just follow your heart. Then we read Jeremiah 17:9, says the heart is deceitful above all things. What about this one? You need to be physically intimate with somebody just so that you can know whether you're compatible with them. Or just find someone who makes you happy. What happens when they don't? Our relationships can end up looking a little bit more like reality TV. And I think we would all agree that none of those guys should be giving us any relationship advice. No, we need a better plan. We need a game plan. We need a better plan for relationships. And the good news that I have for you today is that God gives us a better plan. We're going to be sticking with the sports metaphor through this whole series, these next 4 weeks. And so today we want to talk about the first step in building a relationship God's way. The first step, and maybe even the most important step. So sticking with our sports metaphor, we're going to call it the draft. Because who you choose to be on your team in life will determine the direction of your life. That's just the way that it is. I mean, let's think about the draft. NFL draft. We know, many of you already know, that teams don't just randomly pick players to be on their team. Oh, no. They spend months and months and months. What do? They assess the players. They watch them. They scout them. And then after that, that's still not enough. They test them. They put them through something called a combine. And they get to show their skills. And then even that's not enough, because then the teams have to plan. They have to be aware of like what the needs are on their team, and they got to know the players and is there a match. And even up to the last second, sometimes the teams wait. We don't know quite sure who they're going to choose. Why would they put so much effort into the draft? Well, because they know that the right players can lead them to a championship. The right players can lead them ultimately to a Super Bowl. But the wrong players can wreck their season. The same holds true in life. The people that you choose to be in close relationship with, we're talking about your friends, we're talking about your spouse, we're talking about mentors. The people that you're in close relationship with can make or break your future. So, how do we draft well? How do we choose wisely? Well, I hope you have your Bibles. We're going to turn today to Genesis chapter 24. In Genesis chapter 24, we are going to see some principles today that are going to help us choose well. Now, I want to give you just a little bit of context in this before we get into this chapter. What we see here is Abraham is going to be the father of the Israelite nation. What we know at this point is that Abraham, he has made a covenant with God. He's made a promise with God. And he's already given him wealth, and he's given him land, and he's told him that he's going to be the father of many nations. He's told him that his descendants, that Abraham's descendants are going to be as many as there are stars in the sky. But for that to happen, his son Isaac has to find a wife. And his son Isaac has to find a wife so that he can have children, so that this covenant can be fulfilled. But there is a problem. At this point, Abraham and Isaac, now we know from chapter 23 that Isaac's mother, Abraham's wife, Sarah, has already passed away. But they're living in a foreign land, and they're living surrounded by people who do not share their faith and their values. And so what does Abraham do? He hatches a plan. Now, he's too old to do this himself. So he gives a mission to his servant to go back to his homeland to find Isaac a wife. It's about a 450-mile trek. This isn't an easy thing to do. But Abraham is so fixated on the covenant, this promise being kept, this covenant being fulfilled, that he sends his servant 450 miles back to his homeland. And here's where we pick up Genesis chapter 24 and verse 3. This is Abraham speaking to the servant. I want you to swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that you will not get a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I'm living, but will go to my country and my own relatives to get a wife for my son Isaac. Abraham is being very clear with his servant that not just any wife will do. He's not just looking for someone who's capable of fogging a mirror. He's not just looking for someone who's a warm body, or maybe someone who's attractive or rich or however. He wants someone who has the same faith and the same values, again, because of the covenant. And so what I want us to see today, there will be some things. This is an ancient text. It's an ancient story with ancient customs. And there's going to be some things that you see and you're going to go, oh, what does that have to do? I mean, you're going to see arranged marriages. Parents, maybe some of you wish you could still arrange marriages. That's not culturally relevant anymore. You're going to see some stuff about watering camels. We'll explain all of that later. But don't get hung up on that. What I want you to see is that even though we have these ancient customs in this ancient story, there are timeless principles that can help us thrive in our relationships. And I want to give them to you right up front. Just in case anybody has to leave before we're done, here are the three principles. Pray before you pick. Time reveals character, and character builds lasting relationships. Our first principle that we want to look at here in Genesis 24 is pray before you pick. Abraham sends his servant. His servant obeys, makes the 450-mile trek. He probably does a lot of praying on his way there, but I want you to notice what he does when he gets there. Then he, what? He prayed. This is a servant. Then he prayed, Lord God of my master Abraham, make me successful today and show kindness to my master Abraham. What is the servant doing? He's leaning on God. He's not leaning on his own understanding. He's not leaning into his own instincts. He's not just scanning the landscape to find who's got money or who's good looking. He's asking God. He's inviting God into this decision. And then after he prays, look at what he does next. Well, he prays again. He prays, may it be that when I say to a young woman, please let down your jar that I may have a drink. And she says, drink, and I'll water your camels too. Let her be the one you have chosen for your servant Isaac. Okay, ancient customs. Watering camels. What has this got to do with anything? Now, what the servant has done, he's used a mechanism. It's called an oracle. It's basically when you put out something that's either a yes or no, and then God gets to respond and answer the question. I want you to know that is not the point of the text that we're bringing out today, okay? I don't want any of you young, especially you young guys who are single, ready to mingle, I don't want you just out there going, God, if she buys me some Chick-fil-A and fills up my car with gas, she's the one. That's not the point of this text. The point is, he is relying on God to make this relational decision. There's too much at stake. So here's a question for you. Have you invited God into your relational decisions? Or is it kind of one of those things that, God, I've got this. Have you invited him in to your relational decisions? Here at Oak Hills Church, we have six core values, but our first two values are God dependence and persistent prayer. Why are those so important? Because prayer is not just there to get God somehow to align to my will. We believe in persistent prayer because what it actually does is it aligns our hearts to God's will. And that's exactly what the servant is doing. So he's praying. Otherwise, we're just left to our own, you know, whatever we think, whatever we feel. And we won't actually make the wise decision. And we want to thrive in our relationships. And so God lays out his game plan. And I want to give you just a practical step. How can we pray before we pick? Well, look at this. Maybe this is a simple prayer that you want to pray. God, lead me to the right teammates. Especially if you're in that place where you're still developing friendships, and you know those friendships just have a lot of power in your life. There's a lot at stake. So God, lead me to the right teammates. Maybe you want to ask, do my relationships honor you? Be honest with God. Talk to him about it. Rely on him. He wants to help you thrive in your relationships. So talk to him. Pray before you pick. The second principle that we see in this text is that time reveals character. Time reveals character. So the servant, he does this. In fact, scripture tells us, before he was finished praying. Can you imagine that? He kind of lays this thing out. Before he's finished praying, Rebecca walks onto the scene. And Rebecca has a water jar in her hand. And Rebecca goes to the well. And Rebecca even offers to water his camels. I mean, she just did everything that the servant had been praying about. Had I been the servant, I probably would have been, okay, God, I think the job is done here. Rebecca, here's what I prayed. Here's what you did. Get on the camel. Let's go 450 miles. It's a long trek. Let's go. But this is so interesting in the text. He doesn't do that. He lets time reveal character. Look at what he does. Without saying a word, the man watched her closely to learn whether or not the Lord had made his journey successful. He waits. He watches. Too much is at stake. He wants to get this right, so he waits and he watches. He gives it time. He lets time reveal character. So he waits. But here's what we know. It's true about our culture. Our culture doesn't value waiting. How many of us know that our culture doesn't value waiting? For anything. It's a culture of immediate gratification. And our culture doesn't value waiting, but that's where time can reveal character. When you find yourself in that place where you're not really sure, is this the right relationship? God, are you leading me into this relationship? What's going on here? We have to give it time. And a lot of times, We just don't wait. I want to say this to you. I love you. Because I'm your pastor, I love you, and I want to say this in love. But some of you, you're struggling or you have struggled in relationships because you didn't let time reveal character. Maybe you rushed into the physical part of the relationship and there were just other things in the relationship that just didn't get developed. And this isn't just purity talk. This isn't just biblical wisdom. This is scientific fact. You see, science knows and science has proven what the Bible has said all along, and that is time reveals character. There's a lot of research on this, but I'll give you one example. Dr. Helen Fisher did some research on couples who were dating in the first year of dating, and here's what she found. In the first year of dating, the brain's critical thinking shuts down. This is science. Okay, let me translate this for you. Love makes us literally lose our mind. The prefrontal cortex, it doesn't light up the way that it will later. But science already knows this, and that is that it is dangerous to rush into relationships. It is dangerous, especially to rush into to physical relationships because other things don't get developed. And we do that in a time when our brain is literally not functioning correctly. I've got a good friend, a pastor friend in Phoenix, and he points out that people don't like it when you point it out that their brain's not working correctly. You ever tried to tell someone you're too young? You ever been young and someone tried to tell you that? Yeah, I'm not saying you need to lead with that. Don't lead with, hey, maybe y'all need to, you know, take it slow. Your brain's really not, you know, functioning correctly. That's what the pastor said anyway. But man, if your brain wasn't working right, wouldn't you want to know? And so we have to let time reveal character. I want someone to take a guess. It's okay if you talk out loud as well. Somebody, how long do you think Alicia and I dated before we had our first kiss? Somebody give me a guess.
2 years.
2 years? I am a gentleman, not a saint. Thank you for that. I do not have that kind of restraint. Okay, so less than 2 years. Let's start right there. I'll take one more guess. 6 months? 1 month? 4 weeks? I'll tell you. 2.5 months. You don't have to wow about that. I mean, I'm not telling you that to brag, like saying, okay, this is, you know, prescriptive for you. No, it's just descriptive of what we did, probably because I couldn't get her to kiss me, but that's a whole nother story. We waited 2.5 months. Here's my point in sharing with you that. What do you think happened in those 2.5 months? We talked all the time. We got to know one another. Okay, this is a story for another time, but I kind of finagled it our freshman year of college to where we had every class together. I'll tell you that story another time. They were kind of confused why I signed up for women's college volleyball, but point being, we got to spend a lot of time together. And we got to know one another. We got to learn to trust one another, to rely on one another, to have some level of commitment before touch. This is God's game plan. There's a certain order and a certain progression there, and it's so important for us Because sometimes we just rush to chemistry. You know, we live in a world that says if you don't hook up in the first three dates, they're going to lose interest. God says, slow down. Let time reveal character. Give it time so that you can actually think about what your vision for your life, what is your faith, what are your values, and then see if you can find somebody who already has those same things. Then you can build together, but give it time. And many times we don't do that. So, practical next step. If you're single and dating, prioritize compatibility over chemistry. If you're already moving too fast, take a step back and focus on really knowing the person. Some of you just need to have a course-correcting conversation with someone that you're in relationship with now, because too much is at stake. Abraham knew that. And so should we. The third principle that we see in this text is that character builds lasting relationships. The servant watched Rebecca. And as he did, well, here's what we see. She said, "Drink, my Lord," and quickly lowered the jar to her hands and gave him a drink. After she had given him a drink, she said, "I'll draw water for your camels too until they have had enough to drink." What is it that the servant is watching for, and what does he see in her? Character. What things do we see in her character? It's okay, you can talk out loud.
Willing to do more.
She goes above and beyond, doesn't she? Someone said a servant heart. Kindness. Generosity. You see, this is no small thing that she does. I know that we don't quite do this, you know, anymore, but if you'd ridden in on a camel today, you would know this. If a camel hasn't drank in quite some time, it can drink up to like 25 gallons of water at a time. Now, what would this equal for Rebecca? About 100 trips back to the well. Rebecca's a beast. I mean, yeah. I mean, she takes this on. This is no small thing. But what the servant is seeing in her is this character. Well, we let time reveal that character, and he's watching closely, and he sees that character in her. But here's what we do sometimes. We often focus more on how someone makes us feel than who they really are. I feel alive when I'm with this person. Can I tell you about the first time I did premarital counseling for a couple? They were so in love. They were so not ready. They just weren't compatible with each other. They were young. You couldn't tell them anything. And I finally told them, "You're not ready." I mean, they weren't compatible in the big stuff. I'm talking about like faith and how you want to spend money and how you want to parent and discipline children in the future and all of this stuff. And they weren't ready, but they didn't want to lose the down payment on the venue. And they had already sent out all the invites. And we can make this work. Well, what are your parents telling you? Well, they're telling us we're not ready. But we can make this work. They went ahead with the wedding. I think you know where this is going. 6 months later, she comes back to me and she says, "He is the most unreliable human being in the world I have ever met." She didn't let time reveal character. 2 months after that, they were getting divorced. I want you to thrive in your relationships. God has a game plan for you, and it's not to restrict you from having fun and enjoying life. He has a game plan so that you can have fun and enjoy life. But we have to be willing to surrender to Him. So look for that character. Practical next step. Look for qualities that reflect God's heart. Kindness, faithfulness, humility. Find those characters, that character in somebody. And then let time continue to reveal that character. We need a game plan. We need to be intentional because there's too much at stake. So regardless of where you are in life, whether you're single, dating, engaged, married, looking to strengthen your friendships, here's a game plan that we can put into practice this week. If you're single, pray before you pick. Write down 3 godly relationship qualities and pray over them daily. No, I'm serious. Write them down. Know what the godly qualities are that you are looking for. Write them down and do not compromise. Pray before you pick. Maybe you're dating and engaged. Let time reveal character. Slow down if you're moving too fast. Consider something like Merge. Merge is one of the classes here for those who are thinking about getting married someday. We offer that here. Would love for you to be a part of it. If that's where you're at, people love going through Merge. Maybe the class is full, you can't get into it, but you're getting married soon. Premarital counseling. I won't marry anyone that does not go through premarital counseling. Why? Because that's your opportunity. That's your opportunity to find that compatibility. So that's what you want to do. You want to find that compatibility. We will do everything in our power. Call the office here. We will get you plugged in somewhere. Maybe there's another church doing a class. We'll do everything we can to make sure that you're ready, that you prioritize that compatibility before you make that commitment. Maybe you're married. Character builds lasting relationships. Practice kindness, faithfulness, humility this week. I had a lady after the first service, she said, her husband's right there beside her. She goes, I got one to add for you. Listening. So I don't know what you want to add to the list, but here's the point. Be the kind of person you want to be married to. Love your spouse. Men, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Be kind. And then this is for everyone. Invite someone to game day next Sunday. Bring a friend, wear your jersey, and let's pack this place. How many of you know someone who's struggling in a relationship? Okay, you guys need to get out and meet some people. Okay, let's try again. How many of you know someone where you live, work, learn, and play, someone who could benefit from doing relationships God's way? Okay, that's more of us. How many of you are willing, let me rephrase that. How many of you will invite someone to come and sit with you next Sunday for next, how many of you be willing to do that? Okay, all right, that's a winning team right there. You raised your hand, you're in. I'm counting on you. That's so important. You never know the power of an invitation. And let me just say this. We do these, what we call, you know, invite days. They're just days that are already easy to invite. But we want to think about the people around us where we live, work, learn, and play. Who could benefit from that? And men, I want to speak to you for just a moment. This is probably an easier invite than even Christmas and Easter. Okay? You just tell them, hey, we're going to let you out before the big game starts, so you don't have to worry about that. We're going to have food, fun. Everybody's going to be wearing their jerseys. We're just going to have fun. We're going to worship together. We're going to have fun. So it's an opportunity to invite. So I want to encourage you to do that because we all need a game plan. And the good news is God has given us one. He's given us a way to do relationships in a way that we can thrive. I want to say this real quick too. You know, a message like this can sometimes leave some of us just feeling a little bit beat up because we have an accuser and he will speak lies to us, and maybe you've heard you've already made way too mistakes, too many mistakes. I don't know if it says more about the average age in our early service, but the comment that I kept hearing over and over and over was, I wish I'd heard this 50 years ago. And maybe you know someone in your life who could use God's wisdom, biblical wisdom. Maybe you feel like, I've made so many mistakes. Can God redeem my story? Friend, that's what God does. God is a redeemer. He's a restorer. And you know what? He takes the things that are broken in our lives and he puts them back together. When we will give him the broken pieces, he puts them back together. And when he does, they are stronger than they've ever been. It's what he does. He specializes in restoring and giving life. So if you're in that place, know that he can redeem anything that's broken in your life. Any poor decisions that you've made, maybe you feel like, man, I did not choose wisely. He can restore. He will redeem. Some of you may even be in the middle of a divorce proceedings right now. Can I ask you to do this? Hold off. For just the next 4 weeks, as we work our way through God's wisdom around relationships, maybe there's something there, and I can already hear your pushback. We've tried everything. I get it. But maybe this is the time. God, well, he meets our needs miraculously. So maybe we could believe for a miracle. I talked with a guy after the first service today. He said, yeah, in 6 weeks, we're supposed to be signing the papers. He said, but I'll hold off for 4 weeks. I'll hold off on progressing the proceedings. I loved hearing that because as he said that to me, he has his little girl in his hand. And I think about the impact from generation to generation. God can redeem and he can restore. If we're sticking with the sports metaphor, the greatest draft pick you will ever make is Jesus Christ. You want him on your team. And you know what else? He wants you on his. He created you. He loves you. He cares for you. He's placed giftedness in you to use for his glory and for his purposes. So if you've never made that decision to surrender your heart to him, today is the day. Let today be the day. So we're gonna pray together. And then after we do, if that's you today, if God's brought you into this place to say, man, I made a mess of things myself, but God, I believe in you. You can restore what's broken. If that's you today, maybe you're praying this prayer for the first time or the first time in a long time, we want to invite you to stand, just like over 100 people have in the last few weeks. An opportunity to be bold and courageous in your life, to put a stake in the ground and say, I'm trusting Jesus from here on out. Let's pray together. Repeat after me. Jesus, I am not perfect, for I have sinned, but I believe in you. Save me change me, forgive me. I give you my life. In the name of Jesus, I pray.